Morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome you to Oregon Lutheran Church here this morning, our guests and visitors and members and even those joining us on the live stream. We have just an announcement or two. The crockpot meal is today, so if you didn't remember that, just after service, we'll have a blessing here before we go over, and then please join us for the meal in the fellowship hall. Also today at 4 p.m. is the meeting with the council. So if you're on council, that's the meeting that we'll be having with Pastor Ken Reed. And he's going to kind of help us hopefully look at planning for the next couple steps of the transition and everything, starting the process of getting a call committee together and all of that. Are there any other specific announcements that anybody has? Well, if not, please stand for the invocation. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done, and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you, and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's sermon. everybody. How y'all doing? Good, good. I'm glad. All right, y'all. We have a reading today that tells us a little more about what we've been talking about the last couple times. Does anybody remember some of the things we were talking about the last couple times? No? About being in Christ's kingdom, about being a part of Christ's body, how the church is the body of Christ, and we're all different aspects of that. Remember we said that sometimes we can help each other, like if someone's good at something, they can help somebody else who's not as good at that thing in the body of Christ, in the church here, okay? So I need y'all to help me, okay? I need you to all come right here, okay? Right here, real close, okay? And I'm gonna whisper something to y'all, okay? I'm gonna whisper something. I'm gonna turn off my microphone so nobody can hear it, okay? Y'all are going to tell the congregation what I said, right? Do you remember? I bet you did. All right, go ahead and tell them what I said. Okay, good. Now I need you all to spread out wall to wall. Spread out in the middle somewhere over there to the wall. Nobody get too close together. Everybody spread out a little bit. Good job. Okay, spreading out. All right, ready, and spread out. Freeze, right there, that's fine. I whispered again, I whispered something else to you. Can you guys go ahead and tell the congregation what I said? Did you not hear it? No? All right, everybody come back in. Today, what Paul is talking about is how sometimes we divide ourselves in the church. And some of us go over there on that end, and some of us go over there on that end. Some of us kind of stay around here. Some of us go all over the place. But when we divide, we can't listen to what God's saying very well. We can't do what he's saying. What I actually said that second time was, Jesus died for your sins. But you guys couldn't hear it because we were all divided, right? We were all spread out all over the place. But this is what God calls us to do, is be all together, part of the body of Christ, and focused on what God's saying to us so we can hear it and tell it to other people. You think we can do that? Can we try to just not divide ourselves over differences in opinion or something like that? You think we can do that? Can we all stay together so that we can all hear and help each other hear what God's doing and what God's saying to us? Do you think we can do that? All right, well, let's go ahead, stay where you are. Let's pray. Listen to Judah back there, right? Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll go get a sucker, and you can go to Children's Church, okay? All right. Lord, we thank you for all of the wonderful gifts you give us, including the church, and we just hope that you always remind us to stay focused on you and not divide ourselves over anything. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all, grab a sucker. Please stand for the apostolic greeting. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, graciously look down on our weakness. Reach out to us with your majestic right hand and satisfy us with Christ's glory. We ask through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Let's pass the peace to one another.
Our first reading comes from the 9th chapter of Isaiah. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought you into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the shaft for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Here ends the first reading. Let's now read responsively from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers came upon me to eat upon my flesh, it was they, my foes, my adversaries, who stumbled and fell.
Though an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid.
And that war should rise against me, yet I put my trust in him.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
To behold the fair beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple.
For in the day of trouble, he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling and set me high upon a rock.
Even now he lifts up my head above my enemies round about.
Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord. The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gallius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Here ends the reading.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee to the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem to Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Now, the last couple weeks, for the last couple sermons, we've had readings around, in the same books around these readings that we have for today. And if you remember, some of the things that we've been building on, the themes are still there because these readings are all close together. And so as we've been talking about some of these things, some of the stuff that comes up in Matthew pretty plainly we've already touched on, and some of the things in 1 Corinthians we've already touched on. And so what I want to do is kind of build off of those last couple things. So hopefully some of this kind of stuff will ring a bell, because we've been talking about some of the specific things that our main themes in all of these readings. Specifically, the baptism was not long ago in our readings, and then the fellowship that we're called to through that baptism into the body of Christ here. And then we move on into some of these themes that we get today. The baptism that brings us into this fellowship is important. And then this fellowship is more than just us gathering here and saying hey to one another, and then lying to one another by saying everything's going well, because we do that every week. Yeah, how's it going? No, fine. Yeah, good. We're good. No, it's not. Life's tough. And that is what this is for. That is what this community is for. That's one of the gifts that this community is a place that we can come together, be together, help one another with our needs, continue to reach out with the gospel, continue to bring others in to this community, continue to help them, continue to teach them all that Jesus has said, and that's the kingdom of God spreading here on earth like we're supposed to do. And then, we even talked yesterday at confirmation with the kids. We said one of the commandments is to not murder, and then that also is in the positive sense to promote life, to promote taking care of every need. I can't take care of every need that somebody might have, every physical need. But one of you probably can. Or one of you probably know someone who can. That's the type of thing that we have here. If there's a physical need and any of us come up against that physical need or know someone who does, we can come here. We can ask if anybody here can help with what I can't. Or if you know of anyone who can help. And in that way, we start meeting almost every physical need of everybody out there, just the way God intended. But then, if we come to 1 Corinthians today, the reading today, we see that Paul's talking about some division in Corinth. And I think it's kind of funny because it says it's been reported to him that there is some quarreling amongst the Corinthians. And then he explains what he means. So it doesn't sound like the quarreling is just like the only thing that they're focused on. It sounds like the quarreling is something that he's wanting to correct before it gets out of hand. because he has to explain himself. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or Cephas, or Christ. So it seems like it's not something that is the center of attention of Corinth, to where he says, heard y'all are fighting. And they're like, yep. But I think that tells us something too. If Paul thinks that it's worth pointing out that, hey, we don't need to be divided in any way here, even if he's got to talk about something that's not totally taken over that church, then I think that that's important to note as we're trying to make sense of this fellowship that we're all called to. If you remember in the last couple of weeks, we did talk about this fellowship. Our calling is the things that are good, that we're good at, the things that we like to do, and the ways that we can use that to help the kingdom of God, to help one another, to serve God. That fellowship is full of human beings. We all have the Holy Spirit living in us. We're all guided by the Holy Spirit, hopefully, but we're simultaneously saint and sinner, and we can decide to bring stuff in that doesn't have any place in this fellowship and divide ourselves. Now, what they're dividing themselves about is, at this point, they don't have much of the scriptures. They don't have something left behind to be that standard right then and there, because some of the scriptures are still being written, including this one that Paul writes to them. And so what happens is people come in, and they come in and they explain something, and if somebody explains something a little bit better than the other person had the last time that they were in the congregation, then some people would be in the Apollos camp. And some would be in the, well, I like the way Paul put it, so I'm in the Paul camp. And then some people would say, well, I mean, I got this news before, and it's about Jesus, and so I'm just going to focus on the stuff that they said about Jesus, so I'm in Jesus's camp. And Paul says to that, is Christ divided? Do we have camps? If what they're preaching is the gospel of Christ, then they're all saying the same thing, and the shade and the way that they say it, the shade or the color of their words don't matter, and we don't divide ourselves into different camps of our favorite way of talking about the gospel, or a favorite teacher, or anything like that. He says, did Paul baptize you, or was Paul crucified for you? And in saying all of that, he calls us back to the only way that this fellowship that we're called to works. The only way it works, because it's the way it was designed. Christ literally holds us together. We are literally held together by him. He is the one who was dead and is not anymore. He is the one who made it so that we could be baptized into this kingdom, this fellowship, this nation of God's people. He's the one who did all those things. And so, we can't go back and say, well, I'm only good at a certain thing, that's my gift, and so somebody else has that gift too, but they have a differing opinion than I do, and so now we're going to quarrel over that specific thing that I might could be helping with in the church, but I don't agree with what they're talking about, and so we're divided. That's not how a body works. Something like that happens in a body, we're in trouble, because the body's systems have to work together. If you remember when the kids were up here and I had them spread out and I whispered something else to them, and none of them really picked up on it because none of them stayed close enough. But some of them, if they were close enough, probably could have heard me. But then they'd have to try to be communicating with one another because they're not on the same page and they're all spread out. When in fact, we're called together by Christ. And if he's the one holding us together, we are like all sheep in his flock and we're given a job and all this. Do you ever see the sheep together? Even if it's huge, they all stand pretty close together. They're not divided on whether or not they're sheep or wolves. Like, I want to be a wolf now, so I'm just gonna head out. This division thing is a big deal. And if it's Christ who's the one that holds us together, then what we have to do is hold to him whenever there are differences. I'm not saying that there won't be differing opinions. There will be. We all have different experiences and different points of view. There will be differences in opinion. But what we do then is we say, is this something that is important enough? Does Christ say that this is important enough to let it come and be a quarrel? Is this something that goes against what he's taught us? Is it something that leads us to believe something that the scriptures don't teach us? If it is, then that's something that needs to be approached and discerned, and everybody needs to come into the same page. But if it's a difference of opinion, then we need to cling to him to get through that difference of opinion the way he would. Now, if you look at the things that he says to his disciples in the gospel reading, and the way that they treat what he says to do can tell us a little bit about kind of overcoming these divisions. When he calls Peter and Andrew, they leave. Immediately, it says. They left all of their stuff, all of their fishing gear. They left it, and they followed him. Same thing with James and John. They're in the boat, and they're fixing their nets, and they're with their father. And Jesus calls them, and they leave the nets that they're fixing with their father, and they leave all of that, and they go and follow him. If you remember, on the 5th, I believe it was, I said that a good New Year's resolution would be doing the best thing according to God's word, according to what the standard that God gives, doing the best thing instead of just good things in every situation that we encounter. That's a pretty good New Year's resolution. When I first read this, I feel like leaving your father in the boat, looking for maybe someone else to come help him now, leaving the nets not finished, being mended, is not nice when you first look at it. It's a good thing to stay and help your father with fishing, but it wasn't the best thing at that point, because what they were being called to was following Christ, being trained by him, and being part of the next generation of the church that is an unbroken line down to us of disciples of Christ, making more disciples of Christ till today. When Jesus tells us to do something, we leave opinions behind. If James and John can leave their dad, we can leave our opinions behind. If our opinions are going to divide us here in Oregon, or us with the other bodies of Christ around us, then that dividing thing better be of the utmost importance. And we've seen that here. We've had to do that because it was of the utmost importance, because the gospel was on the line. But God calls us to do what Jesus is doing here in this gospel reading. If you look at what he does, teaching and proclaiming in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and caring for people around him, meeting their needs. We're called to do the same things. If what we're arguing about or have a dispute about is because we are no longer able to do one of these things that God calls us to do, if we do some one of the options that we're disagreeing of, then it's legitimate. We need to come through that. But if it's just something that is our opinion that doesn't affect the things that we're called to do that Jesus is doing here, then we need to leave those behind. Our opinions can stay in the boat, and we can come together and be united in Christ, the one who unites us. Division is the surefire way to take the body of Christ and the mission of Christ and the things that we're supposed to do here as the church and undermine the whole thing. And we see that happening because one of the main things that we hear from people looking at the church and not wanting to be a part of it is, well, it's just hypocritical. Just as bad as Washington. They're all yelling, just like the Democrats and the Republicans. Well, they're fighting like everybody else. We don't do that if we leave our opinions behind and we focus on the most important thing, doing what Christ says. If we can just leave those things, we look different than the rest of the world. You know what we become then? The light that's shining on the dark world, just like Jesus has sent us out to be, because he came to be that. And we are the messengers of him being the light to the world. When we do what he says, don't let it divide us, and then look different when the world looks in at us, we're showing them the light of Christ. We have to act differently. We have to no longer be like the world. We're not citizens of that kingdom. We're not citizens of that nation. Why do we act like we are? Let's leave behind these things that tear us apart. Let's focus on and argue for and defend what we're told to do. If we can no longer do those, now it's worth talking about. If not, leave it in the boat. Come together into the body of Christ. This is especially important, I think, in this transition period as we're moving into calling a new pastor. Let's remember this thing. Leave it in the boat. If it's not of the utmost importance, as in what Jesus says to do, preaching the gospel, caring for people, if it doesn't prevent us from doing our job, leave it in the boat. Amen. Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Now let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all the gifts that you give us and all the ways that you show us that you love us. We thank you most for Christ becoming a human being to gather us all to himself, to bring us into the kingdom, to reconcile us to you. Help us to always remember these things that you've given us, these things that change everything for us, and help us to truly understand those and let it affect our lives. Lord, in your mercy. God, we ask that you be with us here at Oregon in this time of transition. Help us not to be divided like we can be sometimes in your church on earth. Help us not to be focused on things that aren't the highest things we're called to. Help us to focus instead on your kingdom and the ways that we can be who you've called us to be and do what you've called us to do best. Help us to focus on those and put all of our time and energy there. Be reconciled with one another and not be divided. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask that you be with all of those on our prayer list, for all those sick and hurting, and for those in our community, help us to be your hands and feet to care for them. Lead us by your Holy Spirit as we do this. Lord, in your mercy. All these things we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Before we dismiss, we're going to have a prayer for the meal over in the fellowship hall. Again, the crockpot meal is today, just right now. If you would love to join us, we would love to have you if you can join us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all the opportunities that you give us for fellowship. Help us to gather together and to be with one another in your body. We just ask that you bless the food to our bodies, strengthen us so that we can serve you the way that you've called us to. In your name we pray. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.